The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What percent do you think we'll get of J.J. Watt?
I think we'll get about 80%.
Okay.
I'll take that.
I think that'd be big.
It's funny, I was talking to Josh Jordan about this before the show, and he's like, how much do you play him? Because you might need him next week. And I'm of the opinion that you worry about next week.
Right.
If you have to break him to win the game, break him. And say, yeah, but then you wouldn't have him the next week when you really need him. Yeah, but if you don't beat the Bills,
it doesn't matter.
Next week doesn't matter. Yeah.
Joe Burrow guy came at me like, are you crazy? You got to be out of your mind if you're taking Trevor Lawrence over Joe Burrow. Then they show me all the stats from this year, and to which I look at and go, yeah, that's why they gave Joe Burrow that Heisman Trophy. You know who else had those crazy college footballs? Johnny Football. Baker Mayfield. Yeah, plenty of guys have had great college seasons, but weren't necessarily built for the NFL. And I'm not saying Joe Burrow's not going to be a player in the NFL.
I think he is built for the NFL.
But I don't think Joe Burrow's a slam dunk NFL prospect either. I think Trevor Lawrence is.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Our number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. You missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. But all available at podcastarena.com. And as we were discussing last hour, plenty of ways to listen. You can listen on the stream. You can listen on the app. You can watch us on Twitch. You can podcast it later. You can do whatever you want because this is America. Anthony says, every day you say you have multiple candidates for gym of the day. At the end of the week, you have a bunch that don't make the cut. You should do an end of week podcast with all the gyms that you had. Anthony, why are you putting more work on me? That would require some effort, which... I don't think that it would get enough interest, to be honest with you. But I've got enough going on right now. I'm not going to create extra work.
More work. Yeah, nobody's looking for that.
Well, and now I've kind of got sports map to where it's manageable, but I'm about to get really busy again because I do all the picks for Sam Houston, which starts a week from tomorrow,
yeah,
which I'm very excited about. But that's also significant amount of work that gets added to my docket. So, which it's fun work. Like everything I do is fun, but there's not time for me to go in and do that. There has to be money attached at this point. Because is there going to be a death pool draft tonight? Was there talk of us doing a Deadpool?
I'm always up for that.
I am too, but we need to get enough people involved to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree.
Are we going to have Brad?
Oh, he's connecting.
Oh, he's connecting now. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, let's go to lead college football analyst and college basketball analyst for pregame.com, the legend that is Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7, and he'll be doing a little basketball podcast with Mr. Hoffman tonight at some point, right?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And yep. AJ gave me a heads up prior to it. A lot of disagreement. So
nice.
Yeah, we're gonna bump
I'm probably
some
an underdog
tonight.
This time of year against AJ in college hoops. I'm certainly up against it. Come March, might be a different story. But right now, AJ's the favorite right now on that college basketball podcast.
Well, how did your how'd your betting fare this week since we last spoke? We did a show the day after Christmas, and obviously most of the bowl games went off between the day after Christmas and yesterday. So how'd you end up faring?
Yeah, okay, bowl season. I mean, there were some clear misses. One being SMU early was the biggest miss.
Ouch.
I had a big miss yesterday. I thought Auburn would take care of Minnesota. I thought the talent disparity would be there. I thought Auburn would be motivated. I mean, it's not like their best player sat out or anything. They decided Derrick Brown and whatnot to play. And I got to be perfectly frank with you. I thought Minnesota could easily won that game by more. I mean, Minnesota to me looked like the roster full of 4 and 5 stars, not Auburn. So that was a miss there. Although I think I might have made radio history. I'm live betting the Cincinnati-Boston College game live on national radio. I don't know if you guys heard this, but, you know, obviously there's the long delay today. And, you know, rumors are coming out that BC just wanted to, you know, just like last year, the Boise State BC game, hey, we might want to call this game. Cincinnati's like, no, we're playing it. And obviously you got Cincinnati up 31-6. But I'll tell you, I bet it in the second half because I did it live on air. And I'm praying that that block field goal return for a touchdown that doesn't end up costing me. Right now I'm winning the bet, but the bet would be over. It would be done and over with if that play didn't happen.
Well, what's the number that you've got?
I laid 4 in the second half. So right now, since he's up 14-6 in the second half, again, it'd be 17-0 if not for that one play.
Oh, man, yeah. That is a tough one. Well, we've got a few games left, a precious few amount of bowl games left, and we won't even talk about Tennessee-Indiana because it just started. But I think Tennessee is a giant fraud, but I might be proven wrong here.
So you disagreed with the line move? All that money came pouring.
I saw
Tennessee.
That. Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but yeah, I'm not backing that. Ohio Nevada. This is a game that has moved a little bit, and it seems like there's not much interest in Nevada right now. It's gone from 6 to 8, 8.5 at some offshore books. You agree with the move, and you being out there in Nevada, you would know about this team. Why are they not getting much respect against a MAC team? And that's, that leads me to a secondary question of, are you surprised with the MAC performance in this postseason?
I'll start with that. Yeah, because past history said the MAC arguably the worst team in the bowls, not just the last couple of years. We're talking 5-10 year periods. Pretty much since I got out of college, the MAC has been abysmal. You don't have Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback, Byron Leftwich, Chad Pennington, Randy Moss at wide receiver. Those days have been long gone as far as the MAC goes. This one, it's tough, certainly, laying 8 with a MAC team in a bowl game. But I think it's justified. Hear me out for a couple reasons here. Number one, you look at Ohio statistically speaking. I get it. 6-6 doesn't look overwhelming. But statistically speaking, Ohio top 35 in yards per play margin. Where's Nevada in that same category? Nevada in yards per play margin, bottom 15 in the country. A bowl team, bottom 15 in that wise guy stat, yards per play. And on top of it, if you go back to the UNLV game, remember, a lot of player suspensions from that. 3 Nevada starters are out for the full game on defense because of that brawl against UNLV. And another starter, one of their best players on defense, will miss the first half. So I think that's part of the reason why Ohio has been getting some money here.
The next game is Tulane, a 7-point favorite against Southern Miss. That's what the number opened at. That's what it's at now. I'm sure this isn't a game that's been particularly heavily bet one way or the other. But what do you see in the Southern Miss-Tulane matchup?
So I'm a little bit surprised that there hasn't been any line movement, because if you recall, one team that the wise guys of the pros bet on a lot this year was Tulane. I mean, if you looked at a lot of their games, like Temple comes to mind, where they were bet up from like a 2 or 3 point road favorite to almost a touchdown, a full touchdown road favorite, a game Tulane ended up losing. In fact, Tulane comes into the game with 5 losses in their last 6 games. So my theory is this. I think, you know, some of those professionals that were betting Tulane left and right throughout the course of the season, maybe a little bit tired of losing with Tulane. I actually think there's some, for the first time in a while, I think there's some slight value here. I'll ride the wave, sort of say. I think statistically they're a much superior team if you look at it. And they also, you don't get this very often, if you just look at strength of schedule, even though we're dealing with 2 group of 5 teams here, significant disparity. Tulane played the much tougher schedule. I lean Tulane. Pizza money bet for me.
One of the bigger point spreads in the bowl season, another one that hasn't moved much, but Louisiana Lafayette, who is, if you haven't got to watch them, one of the most dynamic rushing offenses you'll find, particularly outside of the Power 5, maybe the best running offense outside the Power 5. 14-point favorites against another MAC team with no Ben Roethlisberger in Miami of Ohio. What do you see here?
It's certainly tough to lay 14. I mean, especially when there's been so much time off in between games here. Even though both of these teams ended up playing in their conference championship game, I'll say this, from a pure power ratings aspect, it's deserved. I mean, looking statistically speaking, I mean, Miami was an 8-win team. but yet they got outscored on the season, minus 75 yards per game on the season. And then you look at UL Lafayette, I mean, as far as yards per play margin, top 15 in the country. They outgained their opponents by 130 yards per game, outscored their opponents by nearly three touchdowns per game. So pure power ratings, I say UL Lafayette for me. Although, man, if you watch Miami of Ohio, the way they play, they really muddy it up. It's kind of an old school type of thing. Don't turn the football over, play solid defense, fundamentals. I mean, they cost Central Michigan that MAC championship game. Statistically speaking, Miami of Ohio doesn't look good, but yet on the final scoreboard, they do. I would lean actually more with the over in this one. I'm not going to lay it with UL Lafayette, but I don't necessarily trust Miami of Ohio. I'll go with the over. Here's what I do know. Only two teams have held this UL Lafayette team to under 31 points this season, that being Mississippi State and App State. I'll take the over 55.5.
Let's talk about the line move in the national champion or the national championship game. It opens at 4.5, which, if people have forgotten, the look ahead for Clemson versus LSU was going to be Clemson -3. It opens at -4.5, bumps up to, I think, a 6.5 at one point. Now it's kind of settled back at 5.5 LSU. What number were you expecting before those games? What number were you expecting right after the games were played? And are you surprised at the movement? Do you expect to see more movement before the game?
Great questions. So I expected it to be around pick'em. This is before the semifinals. I think one book had LSU 1, one book had Clemson 1. Pure power ratings for me, and also giving LSU 2 points of home field advantage. Now, I did have Clemson 3 points better, but if you gave LSU 2 points for playing in New Orleans, my line was Clemson -1. That was before the semifinals. So let's walk through with what happened. Even though Clemson won the game against Ohio State, even though they covered the game against the Buckeyes, I downgraded Clemson a point. So now we go from Clemson -1, pick them, doing simple math here. And I don't normally upgrade teams significantly because we've already seen, you know, 13, 14 games of the season. But I still, you had to upgrade LSU significantly. So I upgraded LSU 2 points for that big beatdown over an overrated Big 12 conference team, Oklahoma. So now I'm at LSU 2. You know, you get reports that Michael Divinity, one of their best defensive players, has been out since the Alabama game. He's going to be with the team. So what the hell? I'll give LSU another point for that. I can get it to LSU -3. I can't really get it any higher than that, guys. I think it's an overreaction to what we just saw last. And I bet, I'm not afraid to admit it, I should be. I bet Clemson +3.5. I bet Clemson +4. Bigger bets. I'm stunned that the line's this high. I think there'll be some buyback on Clemson, but I think LSU is such a public team, and there was such a visceral reaction to what they did to Oklahoma that I don't see the line moving too much.
It's pretty wild to me that, you know, Trevor Lawrence has never lost a football game, and suddenly he's a 5.5-point underdog because LSU ran it up on a bad Big 12 defense. That just blows my mind a little bit.
And Dabo in the postseason since 2012, 10-1 against the spread. 10-1 against the spread. And we're talking about facing the likes of Nick Saban 4 times, Urban Meyer 2x, Bob Stoops 2x, Les Miles. It's a who's who in the college football world. 10-1 against the spread in postseason action since 2012, and now he's catching 5.5. The defending champs, the team that's won what now, 28, 29 straight games? Yeah. Catching near a touchdown. I don't buy it.
One of the things that always is a red flag to me is anytime before the game is played that there's people talking about a team as the greatest offense in college football history, things like that, I'm instantly like, oh, okay, you guys keep pumping that number up. and a lot of people forget that last year, people were talking about Alabama as one of the greatest offenses ever, and one of the greatest football teams ever, because it was a typical Alabama team, but suddenly they had this dynamic offense that they'd never had before. And here comes Clemson, who hadn't played anybody all year, but they held Alabama to 16 points. And it just seems like there's always this overreaction. And maybe we're always going to get that with the 4-team playoff system. One team is going to always look a little more impressive than the other one does, and there's going to be just an overreaction to it. But I think this year, I mean, it was massive because we all knew that one of the games, before the seeding was even announced, we knew there was going to be one really close semifinal game, and one game that was probably going to be a blowout because Oklahoma didn't really belong, and LSU happened to get that matchup. I think there's been a massive overreaction based on that.
And let me throw this out to you guys. I mean, I know we're splitting hairs in some instances, but if you're starting an NFL franchise, who's got the better quarterback here, Clemson or LSU?
You know, we talked about this earlier. Yeah. To me, it's Clemson. I think Fred agrees.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I agree. Clemson's the better quarterback. And let's talk coaching staff. Who's got the better coaching staff?
I'll take Clemson again.
Agreed.
And I'm catching 5.5. You guys tell me.
You can say who's got the better defense. And I mean, you can make a good argument for Clemson.
I mean, LSU's playing as well as they've had all year. The trend line's certainly way up for them. But statistically speaking, I get they play a much softer schedule. I mean, there's that. I would say pick them. And I'm obviously on the defense side of the ball, I'm giving LSU's trend line a lot of credit there. Statistically speaking, I mean, Clemson's been the better team. Now, I'll say this. Clemson's not as good as what they were last year at the line of scrimmage. Offensive and defensive lines, not only experience, but also talent. It's young, it's good, but it's not as elite as what it was at the line of scrimmage as it was last year. That would be my concern here, because I thought Ohio State exploited it a little bit. Now, I did think Clemson got better, certainly defensively in that second half, but that would be my concern here, that Clemson went toe-to-toe, left and right, you know, right there in the middle of the line of scrimmage with Alabama last year. I'm not sure they could do it, but then again, is LSU as good as what Alabama was in the trenches last year?
One thing I'm pretty sure of that has gotten better since last year for Clemson is Travis Etienne. I mean, that guy...
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he was good last year.
You watch him. He's blowing by Ohio. We're talking first-round talent he's blowing by in that game. That one-cut move he made, it was only like a 5-yard touchdown or whatever. I mean, for him to just stop and then start, I mean, that's incredible. Somebody's going to get I get it. The running backs are dime a dozen, but ETN is about as good as it's been in college football coming out.
So with this number at 5.5, my guess is it probably stays somewhere in that middle zone and in kind of this dead zone, but if you had to say it's more likely to do this or this, is it more likely to see 7 or 3?
Great question. Probably more likely 7. I think keep in mind, because the public, I mean, on a week in and week out basis, is the public betting college football? No, but when you get to these last couple of games, the public, like the NFL, which I think it's very valuable to be a contrarian better in the NFL, because it's the one market where the public can have a say because they like to bet it so much. With it being an isolated game, the national championship, I think the public will want to bet LSU, and it's the time that the public can actually, you know, have a say, can override the guys that are even betting 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 just because there's so many more public tickets. Yeah, I think it's more likely to go to 7. I hope it does. I'll bet more on it, Clemson, if that's the case.
And obviously, in college football, 6 isn't as key of a number as it is in the NFL. But I mean, if you can get a 6, that's obviously a better number than 5.5. I would say. So I mean, if you're telling me there's little risk that it goes to 3, I may wait around and see if I get a 6, and if not, I'll probably wait to play on game day at 5.5 if that's what's still around. Because if it drops to 5 or 4.5, that doesn't really affect me much. All right, that is Brad Powers.
Do one more?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, a couple of people asked him. Do you have any thoughts on the total in that game?
Oh, it's high. But yeah, man, I just can't handle, you know, totals for a championship game. We're talking 70, but I would want to lean under, but I'm not necessarily built. I'm certainly not built to take the over. I'll just, you know, I am biased taking an over 69, over 70 in a national championship game. But, I mean, certainly we've seen some higher scoring ones with, you know, two defensive-oriented teams. Even Clemson and Alabama have had some barn burners, so I'm not sure I'm the best guy to talk on that one. I'd lean under.
Especially if you like Clemson, I think that there is a correlation there. I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, if you're looking for Clemson, I think it's more game control. Run the ball with ETN. Keep LSU's offense off the field. I certainly would say if you're leaning towards Clemson, you're certainly leaning more towards the under.
I kind of compared this game earlier in the week to this is probably before you were born, but when the greatest show on turf, Rams, played the Patriots, and the Patriots got their first Super Bowl, And the kind of game that the Patriots played was to, you know, they got a couple interceptions. They ran the ball well. They weren't, you know, Brady wasn't Brady yet, but he was damn good. I kind of feel like Clemson is that kind of team that's going to keep it close. And if it, all they do is win. And if they get it to a close game, kind of feel like they'll pull it off.
Before I was born, how old do you think I am, Fred? That was only like 18 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to make you sound younger.
Jeez. Have you seen me? My goodness. I think I get more mistaken for 45 instead of 25.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with 45 or 55 in some cases.
Nah, it's just a number.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's just a number that tells you that you're about to expire, but it's just a number.
I guess that you're putting us both in the grave here already. But
AJ, I think you're older than me. You look better than me, but I think you got me.
I am older than you. Yeah, I'm 39.
Yeah, but you're in shape. So, I mean.
Well, I mean, if round is a shape.
Right. It's just a number.
All right. That is Brad Powers, the head college football analyst at pregame.com. We'll have a podcast out tomorrow on RJ Bell's Dream Preview feed. You can catch that basically anywhere you get your podcasts. I'll be talking college hoops tomorrow instead of college football. But appreciate the time as always, Brad. And we will talk to you next week, hopefully.
Hey, sounds good.
All right. That's Brad Powers. Guys. Appreciate it.
He's always good. All right. Tell you what else is always good. Getting your hair back. And now's the time to do it. Go to 975hair.com and sign up. Get your consultation and go see my man, Dr. Linville. And if you're on the fence about this, if you've been thinking about getting it done, stop thinking about it. It's a new year. Get a new you. Go to 975hair.com and just spend a few minutes with him, and he'll tell you all about the process and how it works. It's very simple. This isn't hair plugs. This isn't some fake hair stuff. This is your own hair. They extract the individual follicles from the back of your head, and they transplant them to where you're thinning. It's that simple. It's called the neograft procedure, and he's fantastic at it. He also had it done himself, and his hair looks great. And mine is really coming in nicely, and I was ready to just give up. But once I talked to him, I got into it, and I'm telling you, it's been fantastic. The reaction is great. People see it all the time. Wow, man, it really is growing out. The same can happen for you. Go to 975hair.com and get your consultation set up. 975.com. Get your hair back.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Quick update on the SWAT situation. The suspect surrendered to the officers without incident.
So. Ha! Sucker.
So, yeah.
Should have gone down in a blaze of glory.
All right. No. Okay. I don't be encouraging that. All right, let's go to our man Rafael Esparza, my bookie. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. Rafael, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. So let's get to these wild card games in the NFL, because we haven't had a chance to talk too much about those, so I wanted to get your insight. And we'll start with the game here on Saturday, where the local Texans, now 2.5, I'm seeing, against the Bills, with a total of 44. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if you're a Houston fan, you might want to hold off, because I think this comes down to two. A lot of money coming in late on Buffalo, and I'm not sold. I have Buffalo one more year. I think next year and the years past, they're going to be a really good team. Yeah, this game is inside. Buffalo plays a really – if this was an outside game, then give me Buffalo. This is indoor. Give me Houston. They got Watt coming back. I'm not saying he's going to dominate the game, but just his presence in the huddle, on the field, on the sideline, I think pushes them over. Give me Houston, but I'm going to wait. I think this one goes down to two. I like the Texans to advance and beat Buffalo.
The Patriots, 5-point favorites against the Titans. A lot of wise guy money on the Titans at total 44.5 as well. What about that one?
Yeah, this one, I want to say Tennessee wins this, but again, this is in Foxborough, New England. Tom Brady in his backyard in a playoff game. One thing I do like is the over. Tennessee's last 10 games, 9 of them have gone over. New England can score points in the playoffs. We've seen them put up a 30-plus in playoffs in a blink of an eye. I like the total 44. We made this total 41.5 when we thought we were going to be weather. The weather's going to pass by then. Give me the over 44.
Moving on to the Sunday games, the Saints 7-point favorites at home against the Vikings with a 49.5 total.
Last time we saw these two teams play, the Minnesota Miracle happened. Redemption is served. I think if there's one ugly blowout game that you can either clear your DVR or change the channel and watch college hoops, this could be the game. I think the Saints win by double digits.
Seahawks 2-point favorites at Philadelphia. They open +3 and move all the way through to -2. And 45 the total on that one. Your thoughts?
First of all, no team in the NFC East should be in the playoffs the way that all four of those teams played. But if I had to pick one, give me the Seahawks. They won 7 out of 8 on the road this year. I like the Seattle. I like Russell Wilson. Philly just too banged up.
All right. That's Rafael Esparza. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. Rafael, appreciate the time, sir. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Take it easy, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you do the same. What's your opinion on his...
I think I disagree with him a lot on the Saints-Vikings game.
Yeah,
I think the Saints probably win that game, but that's a lot of points, man. I think people are still looking at the Vikings and thinking that, you know, Dalvin Cook's got a bum shoulder and Adam Thielen's banged up. Like, people forget what that Vikings team was 3-4 weeks ago, and it was like, oh, man, suddenly these guys look legit. And if the Vikings are healthy, I think that they're dangerous. I like the over in that game too, but I think both teams are going to have some success. I don't see that game being a runaway by any stretch. I don't know that there's a runaway on this card.
No, I do like the over. I'm probably staying away from it because I'm not going to get in the way of the Saints train, and I don't trust Kirk Cousins enough to keep.
Well, if you ask RJ, as long as he plays at noon, he's an unstoppable force.
Yeah, I think it was Fezzik actually that came up with that.
Well, they both buy into it hardcore.
Yeah, but it's also a game where the whole world is watching, and we know how he does in those. So I don't trust him enough. I do like the over in that one. I really don't have a great feel for any of these games, and the only one I like is I like the Titans to cover the 5. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I kind of lean that way, too. It's hard for me to bet against Brady at home specifically, especially against a quarterback making his first playoff start against Belichick. That obviously gives me some concern, but I definitely wouldn't bet on the Patriots here. I've been saying it for months now. This offense is bad. It's a bad offense, and honestly, I think that maybe the Patriots' defense is a little bit overrated because of what they were doing early in the season when their schedule was simple. This team is good, not great to me. And the fact that they lose a game that matters to the Dolphins, that lets you know that there's something clearly wrong with this team. I'm not fully bought in on the Titans, so I'm not really like running to the window to bet this thing. But I definitely don't want any part of the Patriots at that number as a favorite. No way.
Yeah, I do think there is some overreaction to the Patriots losing to the Dolphins last week. But by the same token, Titans, since Tannehill's been in there, highest rated quarterback in the league, most points scored during that stretch. Number one offense, not necessarily most points scored. But so they have played well over a long period of time.
But here's the question. Tannehill's on this great run, the greatest run of his career. Tom Brady's on the worst run of his career. Which guy do you want starting for you in a playoff game?
Oh, it's obviously Brady, but
that's what makes it hard.
But at some point, that's going to quit being the answer as to why to make make a bet.
No, I get that.
Because at some point, it's always, and listen, I'm guilty of this too. It's like, man, it's still the Patriots, it's still Brady. They can put it together. It's going to happen. They're going to put it together. The more I watch this team, I don't think they're going to put it together.
No.
And I think Derrick Henry, assuming they didn't break him last week trying to get the damn rushing title, is going to have a big day. And that's how the Titans are going to win if they're going to win the football game. They're going to get the lead, and they're going to run the ball, And you're not going to need Ryan Tannehill out there trying to beat these guys. Now, I think they're going to have to do some things that the Texans did. They're going to have to throw the tight end and not challenge the corners as much, because as much as AJ's played really well for them, they, you know, that's still a good secondary. But if they can use the tight end and run the football effectively, then I could see the Titans winning this football game. I think I'd take them to cover the five. I still like the Patriots. If it comes down to a late field goal game, it'll be the Patriots, but that's not going to cover 5 points.
Yeah, there may be some and it's easy to say because the Lions get so tight in the playoffs, obviously, but this might be a good week to use some teasers. And I think the Bills are a team. If you can take them from 2.5 outside of a touchdown, we've talked before about it's really hard to blow that Bills team out. You take them to 8.5 points, suddenly you start to feel a lot more comfortable. At least I would. The Titans, if you could take them from 5 to plus 11.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't picture the Patriots blowing anybody out by double digits.
No.
The Vikings, I think, either way, if you want the Saints and you say Saints from 7.5 down to 1.5, I feel pretty good that the Saints are going to win that game. But if you give me 13.5 with the Vikings, and particularly if that number pushes back to 8 and you can get a full 14, I would love the Vikings at 14. And then I think that Seahawks-Eagles game is so tough to call. But if I had Eagles plus 7.5, I'd feel really good about it, because what I've been saying about the Seahawks all year long, they're not running away from anybody either.
No.
So there's a lot of tease options on the board this week, and I think a lot of them make sense. That's probably going to be the way I end up approaching this card.
I don't think that's a bad way to do it. Just do a four-teamer.
Well,
just do the whole thing.
I
would do 3 and toss the Seahawks game. I'd stay away from that.
Okay. I tend to stick to the two-teamers, but I could do maybe a round-robin teaser even, and just have, you know, use the same one in multiple spots. But, I mean, yeah, if you like to go big, you like to take that big swing, that would make sense.
Go big or go home, man.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do it,
so you like the Seahawks? I take it then.
No, I don't like that game. That's the one I would stay away from.
Oh, I assumed if you didn't like the Eagles at 7.5, that maybe you like the Seahawks.
No,
so you don't like either side.
I don't like either side. I don't trust either side, and I would stay away from that one. I do feel like I like the idea of taking the Titans. I like the idea of taking the Bills, and I like the idea of getting the Saints up to down to a damn near pick 'em.
Yeah. I think the Seahawks game is going to come down to if Pete Carroll's an idiot or not. And I know Pete Carroll loves to run the football. I get it. You're not running on this Eagles defense. The Seahawks aren't. They're not good enough up front. They don't have a good enough running back. The Eagles the Eagles front will swallow that up. The way to beat this team is to throw it around on them. I don't know if Pete Carroll's in a playoff game going to be like, all right, let's throw it around, even though he's got this quarterback. It's like, dude, chuck the ball around. Like, sometimes you have to change up the style of play that you've got based on your matchup. And this is a matchup that says, hey, let's chuck the ball around. Do it. And when the Eagles have the ball, I just don't know what to expect, because, their weapons are just so poor. But Carson Wentz has done a good job of turning nothing into something. So it all reminds me of that. What's that Marky Mark movie? Where he walks in, does the tryout for the Eagles.
Oh, Invincible.
Invincible, yeah. Like, that guy's playing for the Eagles. He's playing wide receiver. It's crazy, but that's what they've got. That's what they've really gotten here with. Makes the Cowboys not making the playoffs even more inexplicable, because the Eagles did it with a bunch of grocery baggers.
Yeah, it's, and credit to Carson Wentz for actually being able to play pretty well with those guys, and that's a good sign. But I don't know what Pete Carroll's going to do offensively, and knowing him, he will try to just pound the ball and pound the ball and pound the ball.
Dummy if he does that. And he is a dummy if he does that.
Well, the guy's obviously,
he's just stubborn. I shouldn't say a dummy.
Yeah,
he's stubborn,
and that's one of those things that he's been stubborn his whole career. And
it's worked for him a lot.
Oh yeah, it's worked more often than it hasn't.
And then sometimes he tries to get cute, and when he's gotten cute, it hasn't worked for him. This is a time not to get cute. This is a time not to try to do what, everybody thinks you should do this, so you're going to do the other thing. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, don't run it at the one, or don't pass from the 1 yard line and throw an interception with the Super Bowl on the line. Like, I know everyone knew the run was coming, so you didn't want to do it. I know everyone is going to say, don't try to run the ball all day, Pete. Don't be like, oh, I'm going to, everyone says I shouldn't do it. I'm going to do it. They won't expect it. Don't be a knucklehead.
I hope he's listening.
He's not.
Probably not.
I'm almost certain he's not. All right. If he is, I would tell him, hey, Pete, you know you could save some money on your home insurance? Let me help you out with that, Mr. Carroll. TGS Insurance. And he's like, Pete Carroll would say, listen, I don't have time to talk to an agent. I don't have time for a phone call. I'd say, no, Pete, you don't have to talk to an agent. You don't have to make a phone call. It's simple. You send a text. And Pete, he's young and, well, not he's old, but he's acts young and he's hip, so he knows how to text. So he texts the word money to 232323. The system asks for Pete's address. He reluctantly sends that back because he doesn't want anybody to know where he lives, but he does it. And they send him a full quote with excellent coverage in 15 seconds. And Pete Carroll says, wait a minute. I'm saving some big dough here. And now everybody's happy. This company, the savings are legit. The average customer saved over $870 on home insurance, and you don't even need to wait for your renewal. TGS will take care of the back end. You can free your mind and just fatten your wallet, even if you're Pete Carroll. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving today.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One final segment to go. You'll all be happy to know that Brad's bet hit.
There we go. Yeah,
with the second half bet that he did live on air. All right, we have Hoffman on Hollywood.
Oh, crap. No. I've had the worst time realizing what day of the week it is, which, I mean, I know it's not a great excuse, but I honestly didn't even realize it was really Thursday, so that's on me. I did have a Hollywood-related story, if I can freaking get it up.
That sounds like more of a personal issue than, you know. A Hollywood story, but
where is it? Oh, did you see this thing that I don't know if you like these documentaries that are coming out about, and I enjoy a documentary. We talked about it earlier, but these music documentaries that have been coming out about guys like Elton John, U2, the Rolling Stones. There's a new lawsuit now that says this is nothing more than a delivery system for intentionally infringed materials. So they're going after these guys that are making documentaries about these bands for using the music of the bands as basically like a copyright violation.
Huh.
So that means any companies that own the rights to these artists have joined forces to sue these film distributors, because what they're saying is ABBA, Nirvana, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Red Hot Chili Peppers, they've also been subject of documentaries. What it basically boils down to is if you want to do these documentaries, you basically, they have to be fully supported by the artist. So that kind of sucks to me.
Well, it does, because most of those has-beens that you mentioned, don't they want the publicity that would come from a documentary? So.
I mean, let's be honest. Who's talking about ABBA if there's not a documentary about them?
Lynyrd Skynyrd at this point. Yeah, half of them are dead, and the ones that are alive.
I mean, it's like, oh, wow, that drubs up some interest in your music. Maybe somebody goes and buys it. Or maybe somebody goes and sees the shell of you in concert. I don't understand why these bands don't like it. But, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I can see both sides, because I mean they are making money off the using the music in the documentary.
I mean, that's not what the documentary is really about. People aren't going to watch that so they can hear the music.
So all these documentaries have been pulled from Amazon after the complaint was filed.
Oh, wow.
So.
All right. Well, I won't watch them then.
Yeah, I guess you won't.
I have a New Year's Eve party for you.
Okay.
Story before we go. Sacramento, California, where some families who were staying in a hotel got a little upset.
Oh, I saw this.
Because of adult play spaces and a dungeon in the grand ballroom. Because there was the state's biggest swingers party going on. While the hosts, a club called Allures, are calling it a sex-abration for New Year's Eve. A father who unwittingly booked a room there called it kind of a shocker. The father of four said he did not get a warning about the 1,000-guest event when he made a reservation. So apparently this is a 1,000-person orgy. He says, people that are spending good money to stay at the Hilton should be aware of what's going on under their nose, especially if they have families. And you know, there's a hot tub there, and there's crazies in the hot tub. Okay. Shouldn't you have done a little research yourself? I mean, every hotel does some kind of New Year's Eve thing. And if I were staying in one, I would be researching it. I would have liked to have gone to this. This looks like it's a lot of fun. But he said basically he was upset the hotel was booked for the event and other potential guests were not informed. That's on you to find that out for New Year's Eve. I'm sorry.
Do you remember when we were in Vegas for the Electric Daisy Carnival, like the big festival? Everybody was wearing all those crazy costumes. I mean, it was wild. Like, all the dudes were dressed up like robots or Pokemon, and then the girls were dressed up in basically underwear and some sort of animal ears. Like, that was everybody, and they're running around the hotels. I mean, it was all of Vegas. In Vegas is normally a pretty wild spot. All of Vegas was like this for this thing.
Yeah, there was, 350,000 people there for that?
It was wild. But you can't, I mean, what are you going to do? That's that. Those people have rights too, you know?
Well, I kind of feel like if you're going to book something for New Year's Eve, you should go
through. You should expect there to be crazies.
Well, of course. I mean, you should expect crazies in your neighborhood on New Year's Eve. But if you're going to book a hotel, go see what events are going on. Because every hotel has parties and stuff like that. And we've done a New Year's Eve thing at a hotel before, but we went and looked and saw everything that was happening first. So, okay, this looks cool. If I'd seen, you know, a 1,000-person orgy, well, I thought it would have been cool. I don't think the wife would have been into it. But that would have been all right. You know, I could have said, you know what, I'll do this New Year's Eve myself. But you should look that up instead of whining about it. I mean, and who's taking a family of four to a hotel for New Year's Eve?
Right.
Are you taking your kids to a hotel for New Year's Eve? And if you are, aren't you going to find out what's happening?
Probably. Well, no. I mean, I'm probably just going to my hotel room and minding my business.
Yeah. Me too.
And if you went to the hotel to rage, then you probably shouldn't be surprised when other people are raging too.
True. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Pretty good job today, Aaron. Hoffman, really good job right up until that fumble on the 1-yard line there at the end, but that's okay. You still get an A+. Yeah, I suck today, but there's still tomorrow. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.
That. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.